shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we enjoy singing praises unto you and worshiping your great name, knowing that this is a little reflection, a little, might even think a little negative portion of heaven, giving back worship to you, Lord. And we know that it may be, in our estimation, very puerile and very inadequate, but we realize in your sight it is great because we are worshiping you and praising you through the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and loved us and gave himself for us, whose death and resurrection we commemorated last night and this morning commemorate again by coming together and worshiping in his name. May we be one with him who is our head and enjoy that fellowship and the mercy of God and the special day of grace in this hour, and grow in that special grace in this hour up to the very headship where you want us to take us out of here. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, last night we took what might have seemed a little, not exactly cohesive, and yet cohesive in a way, a discussion, but that's the basis as we get into Godhead a little later on, because we have questions concerning that. And the thought was to thoroughly establish with you the fact of the family of God, wherein we understand, at the very minute you use the word son, there is no way you can actually pronounce co-equality in any way, shape, or form on the very basis of Genesis. And we know the genesis of a son must come from a father, so the father is preeminent over the son, and the son is merely a continuation of the life of the father. So we always take the attitude that Jesus took toward the father, and that Paul took toward the father, and it was always blessed be the God and Father, or even the Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you keep that in mind, it won't be too difficult to understand Godhead and that which comes forth from Godhead. Now, of course, we understand everything comes forth from Godhead. No matter how many times the Father gives the Son this magnificent place of preeminence, being called the only begotten Son, being equal with him in a matter of inheritance, but not equal to him in stature, because that could never be. Always the Son, invariably, is an agent, you may use the term, or that manifestation or that logos, which is used by God himself, and we speak always of God in terms of being the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's not two gods, it's one God. And it's God in the Son, in a measure in which he is not not in us. And the position is one that he holds that is second only to God. And you know by Scripture that the Son must hand the kingdom back to God so that the Father becomes all in all. You see, that has to be, because the principle and Alpha and Omega, everything came from God. There was nothing there but God, as we showed you last night. And then God birthed the Son. And the Son is nothing but more nor less than a part of God. And because he's the first Son, he then is co-equal with God concerning the whatever God owns. It's not a matter of the Son sharing with the Father as though the Son now is the Father. It has nothing to do with that status. The firstborn always inherited 50% of the substance of the Father, but he never inherited the Father. There's no way. He is always subservient to and obedience to. And there's no place where Jesus was not, and will not be in obedience to the Father. And you see that from the very beginning. And you see it at the end, when the kingdom is handed back to the Father, God the Father becomes all in all. The pillar of fire is above the throne. The Lamb is on the throne. The 144,000 virgins are there, caretakers and keepers of the bride. The bride is there. And whatever else is there that God wants, you'll have the 24 elders and no doubt cherubim and all these other things mentioned. And outside then will be multiplied billions, or millions at least, of what we call today foolish virgin. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all are made alive. And that one group in there, flesh, is like a big bolt of cloth, and a pattern is put upon it. And the sovereign tailor comes by and clips out the pattern. It's all virgin material, but only that which clipped out is the pattern is the bride. The rest are called virgin, but they're foolish virgin. We'll talk about them later. And they're out there to bring their glory in. They're the ones I called many years ago, the ones in between. So if you keep things in mind that are very common denominator, very salient factors, so you won't have any trouble with Godhead. And particularly attempting to specify certain acts between the Father and the Son, we must get this straight. No matter what happens, the Son doesn't have an action of his own. He doesn't have a thought of his own at all. Now, you can put Satan right alongside of the Son. Satan does not have any power of his own. He does not actually have any thoughts of his own. He does not have any word of his own. He has nothing of his own, and he's not a part of God. He's a creation. Yet he stands right there. And everything he does is a misuse of the word of God. So therefore, remember, the Son is obedient. He's the essentiality of obedience. The devil is disobedience. And his children are sons of disobedience. And we are children of obedience. Therefore, you can place the bride instantly. She always goes right to the word. Always goes right to the word. And if she doesn't obey it, she repents, she's scared, she's sick, she feels terrible. It just does not, she cannot exist outside of the word. She cannot take anything but what is the pure word. And when it comes to conduct, it is her understanding of that word that gives her her light of action. And it doesn't say they obey perfectly. They are not children of disobedience. They are disobedient children. Adam and Eve were not children of disobedience. They were disobedient children. Cain was a child of disobedience. And you can prove it by the minute the word came up, he says, shut up. And he said, I'll tell you, God, I know you're there, and I'll pray, and I'll cuss you to your face, but I'm still religious. You bet I am. And I told you about the man last night that cussed me upside down one day. Don't you dare call me. I'm not a Christian. He's a Christian, all right, because you're not a Mohammedan. He's dead now. No problem. You're all going to die. After that, the judgment. So these are things I was trying to bring out last night to show you that as we get more and more into the works of Almighty God, no matter who they are worked through, even to the extent of the works of God worked through the devil, it is still God's word and God, even as the scripture said, for this cause have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee. Pharaoh was raised up the same as Moses was. And at the end time, you have all of these false anointed ones equally raised up. And there's a purpose for it, because it tells you right in the book of Psalms that God gave gifts unto the bride, to the church, which was a fivefold ministry, and to the rebellious, the disobedient ones, the children of obedience. He gave gifts also that they might know the Lord was amongst them. The very gifts that they have should make them to understand in this day with Brother Branham in us, God is here in our midst. They won't acknowledge it. I got a phone call the other day from a friend of mine in Europe, and he was with a bunch of ministers, and of course they're raking me over the coals and fussing about the presence. If you don't believe in the presence, you don't believe in this ministry, you don't believe in that. If you don't believe in the pillar of fire, you don't believe in the indicator prophet. You don't believe anything. Because that's the gist of William Branham's message. My ministry is to declare that he is here, and the word declare in the Greek means to fully lead forth and explain. And Brother Branham is a prophet, and God manifesting through him the wonderful gifts that no one could do at God. If he hadn't explained, we'd have said, isn't it wonderful? Oh, what God's doing? Marvelous. Then go down the road like a chicken with his head cut off. Try to emulate or do what he did. And you try to duplicate an office where, or a membership where enter you are not called, you will be now liable for that. And see what happens to you. Many will come in that day. See, we've got to get deadly serious about the word before you talk about one solid thing of how you're going to act, what you're going to do, and how you're going to perform and present yourself. Forget it. Forget it. Now, you can get that right from nature. Nature is in such supreme control according to species and according to intercommunication, according to the planets, whizzing by at 100-some thousand miles an hour, coming into certain confluences, never amiss. The seasons, daylight, the vibration from quartz, the emanation from uranium. Let man try to do it. We've got to the place, we got computers to where we got a copper line, 136,000, I think, message and go through in one copper line. Now they're going to have that pretty soon. That's not man doing it, that's nature. Man can't do anything. He can only do with what he's got. And then he'll only do as far as God allows him, because he makes the wrath of man to praise him, and the remainder wrath he doth restrain. There's your Moses. And see, that's all what I tried to show you last night. And show you here that the true bride of Christ is in the negative of the positive of God. See, it all comes down from the very beginning. The invisible God, where there was nothing but God. You can't comprehend that. Sit here this morning and say, there's a time when there was nothing but God. Say, well, am I real? I can poke you in the nose, come down, you'll find you something about you is real. Or bark your shins for it. I got my heavier shoes on this morning. Or do I? Yeah. They're pretty solid. Something's here. But what I'm trying to do is show you. Become philosophers this morning, which would be nothing but sophists. Those who think they know, pretend they know, they rattle off at the mouth. They have no vindication whatsoever. All they can do is spew. But they do have revelation. But where are they getting it? I've seen revelation come from spiritism so close to the Word of God, you say, hey, that's right. Right? No. An absolute diabolical error, because 99% truth is the worst error there is. So I took you through that last night. And when you begin to realize what lies here, and our deep calling to this deep, our negative calling to this positive, showing everything in this world is negative and positive, even to the lowest of the low, which I'm not into chemistry or science, and I can only go as far as the atom. That's about as far as I can go into eons, positive and negative. Who here knows more than that? Fine, I'll let you come up here and tell it. But everything is negative, positive. It's traction and repelling and interaction. You can take a magnet, just elements of the earth, and it'll draw an object. You reverse the magnet and put a magnet with a magnet to pull it in, reverse it, and shove the magnet away. How can there be a force in this thing here? There's no strings to it, there's no electricity, there's no nothing, but there's a force there. Tell me about gravity. See, you can be a sophist, and you can be a philosopher, but if you haven't got something from what you call the man up here, you're going to blow it. Now that leads me to vindication. I talked to a man the other day on the phone, and he's discussing a man who used to be his pastor. Who he is inconsequential. I said, tell me, I want to know, how much did this man preach vindication? Hardly mentioned it. I said, that's your whole trouble. What are you telling the people? If you don't hammer vindication, do you think for 1 minute if I had not hammered vindication like Brother Branham, which is 80% of my time and 80% of his, would you begin to believe the doctrine? You couldn't do it because it is so strange from everything you've ever been taught. And when the fellow said truth is stranger than fiction, he sure meant it and he sure the truth. Truth is a very rare commodity. How many books have been written about this book? Billions, and most of them are failures, complete failures. This book alone does not need to be written about. It needs a revelation, which we have, and we teach revelation. How many billions of books are in the world? And how many have a scintilla of truth? Well, there's a lot of Pinocchios, and if you look at some of these books, they're all no's. Not this book. Not this book, but the other books. You know. Got a library of big noses. Okay, so that's telling you what we're looking forward to down the road, to get more and more of this in as we go along. Now we have some questions here because that's our that's what we want to do, is get in some questions. And now in the sermon, then Jesus came April 17th, 57. William Branham says, some glorious day that all of the gifts that's in the church will just be set aside on the mantle as it is, or we used to say as it were. What is your understanding? All right, this was preached in 1957. Preached previous to 1958, where everything began to break in the ministry of Brother Branham's teaching. For Brother Branham said concerning himself, Malachi 4, or this last end time prophet, would plant the entire seed of the Bible from the serpent in the garden to the prophet in the former reign, which is William Branham's ministry. So this predates the thing that Brother Branham was talking about. The glorious days that were to come were positively the ministry and the revealing of the word from 1958 to 1965, which it was. And you will find at that time the gifts actually petered out. And not as though there are no gifts, not as though you cannot have them. Absolutely, the gifts are still extant. Brother Branham said, as long as there's a true bride on earth, there's a true gift of tongues. He never mentioned all the rest of the gifts. And yet we know, according to 1 Corinthians 12, there's 9 of them mentioned there. When you go to Romans 12, you will find everything all mixed up. Until Irenaeus said there's hundreds of gifts in the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if people want to have tongues, they want interpretation, they want this manifestation, they want manifestation, but how many want the gift of forgiving with cheerfulness? That's what I prefer. I don't care to talk. I was a tongues talker. I could talk up one wall and down the other and slide between heaven and hell on my tongue. There's no doubt about it. Have you gotten the pickle talking tongues? You got happy talk in tongues. We were tongues people. That to me is gone with Brother Branham's ministry. I asked him personally, Brother Branham, is the age of gifts over? He said, yes, it is over. I believe that's what he is talking about. So I want to just go back to Romans again with you, because I've done this several times, but you know, your mind is like mine. You can't enumerate everything that was said here. So we go to Romans 12 and pick it up. And, I had my hand right in there and kept turning pages. Okay, he said here, but look at it this way. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable sacrifice. He's got service there, but it's a reasonable sacrifice. In other words, there's nothing asked of you that's unreasonable that you give up. And now is the time to give up your body. Know ye not that your bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost? That means God is in you. And God is in you willing and doing his own good pleasure if you come in obedience to him. And instead of being a disobedient child of obedience, you become an obedient child of obedience. And there's only one obedience, and that's to the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the lamp and the light unto your path and to your feet. It's what you bind in phylacteries upon your forehead, so they go bang, bang, bang on your head, making you recognize the Word, and that's what your eyes see bobbing there. So your eyes go bob, see this bobbing, and your head feels bang, 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 and that's the word. So that's what your life is supposed to be. You got it all up here, right down in your feet even. Now, and that is a sacrifice. You are to sacrifice your intellect for the divinely revealed word of God, which is your faith. And that's not hard, because that puts you in heavenly places in the stature of Christ with rewards and a service that you cannot even begin to anticipate until God begins to work it through you. And at judgment day, you look back and say, you mean to tell me all of this was there? When Brother Branham came in behind the curtain of time, and he stood there in the out of the body in another dimension, they all came thronging toward him, hugging him and being so happy. And they were all Branhamites. He said, who are these anyway? These are those that were one in your ministry. He didn't have a clue what was going on. Now, when the screen is rolled back, you can see the tremendous glory of Almighty God. Even as when Brother Branham opened the seals, and rather God opened them through him, revealed, we could begin to see and understand what God was doing. And this now gives us the understanding of what God uncovered, unveiled, what was going on for 2,000 years, and is now ending. We're ushered right into what lies ahead. And he described it. He described it as the heavenly home of the earthly bride. He described different things for us. So, okay. And be ye not conformed to this world. Now, you got to touch that in there where Brother Branham talked about Eve being fashioned by Satan. See? Just to keep that in mind when we go into that question. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's metamorphosized, which means you're changed from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And it's done by the renewing of the mind. Now, Edgar Cayce, the great spiritist, who was perhaps the most famous man in the 20th century, when he was a young lad, and he could not simply get certain textual material and was not doing too well in school, he went to bed, he put the book upon his chest. Next morning, he knew everything in the book. Don't you try. Now, you say, put it on my head then, Brother Dale. Oh, God, bring it right now. Oh, forget it. Your mind is to be sacrificed. What your mind wants to dwell upon, what your mind wants to think upon, you use the principle of sublimation. And you sublimate all of that to the Word of God, even as Paul said, bringing every thought into captivity and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You sublimate it. You bring it into captivity. As the Chinese said, you cannot stop the birds flying in the branches of the trees, but you can sure stop them building a nest. Now, you can't stop the weeds from coming into your garden, but you can sure chop out the hole and spring them with herbicide. That's what I'm doing to our dandelions right now. I don't want them. If you want to get rid of them, get them out. Put them out. Okay, that's your sacrifice. Be transformed. Get a transformation. Now watch these words. He is speaking these words to people who are temples of the Holy Ghost, who must be taught and trained in the things of Almighty God. And he's telling them this. You must now put aside every single thing that you think in your minds concerning everything, especially spiritual, and get the Word of God in your mind so to transform your very life, which means now you don't have the world fashioning you, but you have God fashioning you. And this has to do with gifts, and I'll prove it to you before I go further. When Brother Branham went to Africa with his great gift, even men like Brother Bosworth said, now is the time to strike while the iron is hot. We will go to the interior of Africa, and the natives will be slain by the power of God. See, they didn't have a clue to sovereignty and to predestination. We'll go in there, and God will bring in a great harvest. This gift of yours, Brother Branham, think what this gift can do. Hallelujah! When the people see it, they will fall like tenpins. They will come to you, O great God. And William Branham said, nope. How long ago? They blackmailed him. And Billy Paul said, Daddy, don't go. Because God doesn't want you there. William Branham said, I will give you 3 signs tomorrow morning to show that we should not go. The meeting will not take place as you say. He said, 1, there'll be a white man out there in a white suit beating a black man. And the black man was was on the corner beating this, the white man was on the corner beating this black man. He said, furthermore, another car will come, not the car that you're using. Another car came. He said, thirdly, Baxter will be standing out there and see a very large strange bird fly across the sky and comment. It happened. They still went to the interior. Storms and floods came. Nobody was saved. It was all washed out. And William Branham paid a price of sickness, amoeba, went to his liver, and he should have died. In those days, they did not have a cure for amoeba. You know the story. And William Branham could have died, but he didn't die. Showing that you don't dare try to operate any gift on your own. So how am I going to do it, Brother Bill? You better know from God. And don't worry, if you're dedicated, you will know. You'll be shoved right along by the stream of divine grace flowing from the throne of God. If you're dedicated and anxious to know. For he that willeth to know the will of the Lord will know the doctrine. But if you don't will to know, if you don't sublimate, you don't bring yourself other, forget it. You're not going to have it. I know what I'm talking about. Look, I'm not 83 years old for nothing. Been preaching, I'm 22 years old. I've had my ups and downs, ins and outs, but this time it's just steady with the word by the grace of Almighty God. Now notice what he said, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now right away Peter's going to tell, well, you see, Brother Bale, there's a good thing, acceptable, perfect will of God. You got all 3 black. Oh, just shut up. The whole thing is whether you're in the will of God or not. There are no degrees. There are degrees to your performance, but the will is the will. And you don't dare fool with it. So don't give me all this stuff that these are all different degrees. These are just words to let you know concerning the will of God, that there is a will of God that is absolutely flawless and wonderful and beneficial to you, wherein God can glorify you and himself be glorified if you just come under his will. Now, he said, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think. In other words, shut up and sit down and don't try to figure this thing out. Just go to the Word of God and wise up. To think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, just a minute. If you are supposed to have a certain ministry, you've already got the faith to do it. You don't have to say, oh, God, give me this great faith. Oh, God, give me this great ministry. Oh, Lord, I'll lock myself in the closet and throw away the key, and I'll be here a dead man until you give me these gifts. Yeah, you'll get them, and watch it happen to you. Watch it happen to you. Depart from me. I never, ever knew you. So let's keep reading. Now, have been dealt the measure of faith. For even as we have as many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, they got all offices, not one office, there's not a singular, it's plural, and each one's got one. So we being many are one body in Christ and many members one of another. Now watch that. There is therefore no place in the body of Christ for superiority or for spiritual antics. You know, Brother Branham was criticized for spiritual antics. I never saw one. My God, that angel was tough on him. He drew aside and he said, William Branham, you made this thing a sideshow. And I said, sideshow? I had a preacher that was very critical. Came to me and said, Brother Vail, I've never seen such reverence and godliness in the meeting. I expect to see a Pentecostal circus here. And he cried in every service. He's broken right down. A denominational man. I never saw a sideshow. I never saw anything in his meetings. And what about you and me having a sideshow? We can't even produce for a sideshow. Unless we got some high heel, short skirted Pentecostal floozy leading a song service or trying to preach. Now, pardon my expressions. I'm tough, but look, I've been all through Pentecost, Baptist, and the whole schmear. You say, oh, you're a church trap. No, I'm not. I'm a seeker of truth. And today, my eyes are in one goal. I have nothing to do with organization or any creeds and dogmas. I believe William Branham doctrine is perfect, vindicated by God. And you can do what you want about it. If you don't like it, well, I'm sorry for you, but I find you. We'll have a good cup of tea or cup of coffee if you're in the mood to sit down and eat steak, but forget about trying to fellowship. They're going to have the fellowship in. Here, just like Rose and Lee. Right, Rose? You could eat Limburger, but you never could. That's okay. A lot of people like Limburger cheese. So that's the way it is today. My wife eats beans. I can't stand beans. Yuck. Now, if you lima beans with a ham hock's okay. Or green beans, but don't try to feed me lima beans and this bean and that bean. No, I buy a little fried beans if I go to Mexico or somewhere. We're all different, see? Eat different, look different, all have different ministry, different gifts, everything else. We're all just different. And we're different here because we believe that William Branham brought us the vindicated word of Almighty God, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul as was here revealing it. We believe he was the Malachi which was to come, positively. Don't try to give the prophets all to the Jews. Huh? Well, what are you going to make him know? He wasn't any Jew. The first scintilla of a Jew coming on the scene was Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldees. Huh? What about Enoch? He was a prophet. He's not a Jew. He's not an Israelite. Hey, they came from him. Trace the lineage. Come on, trace it. What did God say? Of all the people you have I chosen. There was a choosing set in. Oh, my. I just can't be misled. Look, I'm ready to preach for 3 solid hours here on what's coming into my mind. We'll just let that go because it's beautiful thoughts, but we've got to get back to this scripture. All right, see. And now it's in. Having gifts differing according to the graces given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to proportion of faith. On men or ministry. Now, where do you find that in 1 Corinthians 12? Why don't the Pentecostals come to this chapter? You know why? They won't, because it's all mixed up. Now, teaching. Now, the fivefold's in here. You got a gift of prophecy. Now you got a gifted teacher. Now you got a minister. Now you got one that exhorts, one that gives it simplicity, one that rules with diligence, one is showing mercy to the cheerfulness. And then it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Well, now, if love's going to be without hypocrisy, you're not going to be doing something with these gifts yourself with a beautiful attitude. Oh, you're a wonderful fella. Oh, you want to serve God. You want to help all your mankind, all your friends and all. No, you let God, who is love, control your life. Not your and my shameless but shameful love that we try to make do for God's love. Remember, God is love, so that's the Holy Spirit. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 is all about right there. Now, with this in mind, we're talking about gifts on the mantelpiece. You can see 1 Corinthians 15, where Jehovah Elohim himself descended to subjugate the church to himself and put it under Jesus Christ. Because the word klusma, shout, is the same word that you get the words in 1 Corinthians 15, the church becoming subject to Christ for the eventuality and the conclusion whereby all become subject to God, even Jesus himself, the Son. So the church has been out of order. It went out of order in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. And been out of order ever since. That's why 1 Corinthians 13 was written. It is not that there weren't gifts of tongues. It is not that there weren't interpretation. It wasn't that there wasn't prophecy. It wasn't that there wasn't healings and this and that and the other thing. It was simply out of order and in confusion. And Paul said, you've got confusion amongst you. And my body is not in confusion. What my autonomic nervous system says, and the other system, I can't remember them all under my brain, under my soul and my spirit, all are working perfectly together unless I inject something in there that is wrong. So if the body of Christ has the headship of Christ, which is anointed one, the anointing, they will be in subjection to this chapter. There will be no vying for position. There'll be no showing off. God will be controlling. Everything will be in divine order. But it wasn't in order. Now, since the church is put in order, which it was in the first age in Ephesus, you don't find one word about gifts in there. Because it was in order. And the first chapter is a nutshell of eternity to eternity. And showing you at the end time what controls the church. Not gifts, but God himself. So they are on the shelf. It's not that you don't have them. Now, Brother Branham categorically said, you need a spirit of discernment or a discerner spirit to stand in the door in that little room because this was a separate meeting in Corinth and a separate, well, it wasn't. They took it out of the separate room. The gifts are to be in a separate room and they are to be judged. All right. What will I do then if you want gifts? Well, I'm out of the picture. I'm a minister. The gifts are complementary to the ministry. I teach. That's well known, good, bad, indifferent, false. That's up to you. I believe I'm a true teacher, but that's my business, not yours. If I didn't, I'd go home because I get tired pretty quick and I'd just soon be home. You know, I should be honest with you. But I'm here, so I'm teaching. Okay, now what would I do if we had room back here? Say, come in here. Say, well, some here wants to say, I believe I have gifts. That's fine. You come in here. I believe I can interpret. Come on in here. But don't go in yet. Just come here. Now, I've got a spirit of discernment. You know I got a spirit of discernment? I'll give you the word test. I say, hey, do you read Malachi 4? Do you read that's William Branham? Vindicated prophet of Almighty God? Have you heard the rapture tape? Who came down? Yeah, he did, eh? What you doing? When I'm through with the word test, I can discern your spirit 100%. Whether you're on the word or off the word. If you're on the word, you can come on in here. Then we'll see if something happens. Now, if you start pushing it, it's out. Out! Just get up. Got no time. We don't do that. You wait for the Spirit of God. Kenny Goff told me the Mormon church, after Woodward Edder went through, and the gifts are established in the church. The Mormons are very clever. Because when people spoke in tongues, they say, hey, we believe in that. Come on and stay with us. He told me that they had people in their church they call prophets. And he said, Lee, they just sit there in silence. Suddenly just Spirit of God come upon them, get up and prophesy right down the line. They are so far off the word to be pitiful. Actual genuine gifts like Balaam had. So if you're going to believe what the prophet said, they're on the shelf, as it were. Then let's see what on the shelf, as it were, means. Let's see what happens. Have a meeting. I'll stand here discerning spirits. You just give the spirit the word test. That's all. You know, the Pentecostals gave the spirit the word test many years ago. And all they did, Jesus Christ come in the flesh. And you know what the devil's answer back? Said, no. I want to ask you again, do you believe that God manifests himself in human flesh in this hour? Let's find out if the devil's answer that one. I saw a little film of Benny Hinn. They brought a woman who was engaged in witchcraft. Now here's a Trinitarian. That's idolatry. Say what you want, there aren't three gods, there's one God. Bible says so. You can't get a Jew to believe in three gods. You can't have God in three parts. There's no scripture for Trinity. None whatever. Otherwise, Jesus had two fathers. Well, he claimed God is his father, and the Bible said the Holy Ghost came upon her. That's quite cute, isn't it? You know, where's the mind? One God. So, all right, here's a Trinitarian casting out devils. No problem. No problem. The gifts at the end time are basically for the non-elect. Even call them serpent seed if you want. Reprobate, call them what you want. It's in the Bible and it's there. We can use Bible terms. And the proliferation is the proof that Elohim is here. Do you know your Bibles? Huh? Let's go to Ephesians. I'm not going to quote you something so I don't know what I'm talking about. But I can tell you one thing. Scofield knew this. And every other person knew it too. And it says here in the fourth chapter of Ephesians concerning the gift ministry. And the gift ministry are those that make the bride perfect along with the blood. The blood does one work. The word in the bride through a fivefold ministry does the other. Now it says here, wherefore he said he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. So let's go to Psalm 68 and 18. Because he's quoting that. 68 and 18. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts from men. Yea, for the rebellious also. What's he done? But gifts. That the Lord might dwell among them. So at the end time, we have the picture here, and this goes back to Numbers, where Korah, Dathan, and Abiram withstood Moses, the anointed, vindicated servant of God, and they withstood him on the ground of gifts. And God destroyed them and their families. You say, Brother Bill, why would God destroy their families? Because the families are the descendants, they're the genealogy, the race of those people who are in rebellion, sons of disobedience, because God was taking his children into the promised land where he got rid of the serpent seed. And said, don't you dare marry anybody in there. Slay the natives entirely. Get rid of them. And I will breed you back to a human race. Now, I'm kind of quoting God on this. But believe me, I know what I'm talking about. To the best of my knowledge. Otherwise, why did God do what he did? And what was he doing? And you know, the end of our existence on this earth is to get back to being a true human race. There'll be no mixture. There'll be no more one lump. Because the whole trouble came, and it's proven by Mallet and Wilkinson in history, that the whole trouble in the 6,000 years came when the sons of light began looking at the luscious, beautiful, sexy daughters of men and began hankering for better sex. And they blew the whole thing like Eve. That the serpent in the Garden of Eden. And the sons of light and darkness came together. You've got one lump. And that's why God took Abraham and took that line right down. All right. In 1 Corinthians 13, where your gifts are enumerated, as well as over here in Romans 12, whereby Irenaeus could say there's hundreds of gifts in the bride of Christ or the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is speaking here, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I'm become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Now, what is he telling you there? According to the church and every theologian you will ever, ever, ever read, and believe me, there are certain books, chapters, every time I find discourses, on Romans and Ephesians and various books, I go right to those chapters and say, what have those people told us? And invariably, I've never found anybody that said, this was the Holy Ghost. And I never could place it till I understood God in threes. I couldn't reconcile Brother Branham's teaching with the Bible. Remember, he is omniscient, he's omnipotent, but he's essentially love. God is love. He must be in threes. He is not omnipresent. That's paganism, that's pantheism we showed you last night. But he is solid God in one piece. And that's all there is to it. And like the life of a father to inseminate and bring forth children, he can inseminate as it were. And that life is carried by human instruments which came from Adam and Eve and right on down today. And that seed is still amongst us and is born humanly. That's why there has to be redemption. That's for the flesh. You can't save a part of God. That's your soul. How could you do that? You've got to understand, like the poet said, when God said, "The dust thou art and dust thou wilt return," it was not said to the soul. The soul never came from dust and doesn't go to dust. The soul came from God. We'll talk about that. We'll go into more questions later on. We won't have too much time. He said, "I am a tinkling cymbal and sounding brass." Well, I want to tell you something. When Korah and Dathan prophesied, and even Balaam prophesied, in the light of what God brought to pass and what God did, were they not tinkling cymbals and sounding brass? In other words, full of hot air? Even though the gifts were genuine? Were they not merchants of death? Were they not merchants of destruction? Were they not in the power and pale of Satan? Certainly they were. I don't care how many people you cast out of the devils in the name of Jesus Christ. And I've done that myself. What if I'm a child of disobedience? Well, I certainly have cast out devils. I've seen them right like I'm looking at you. I can tell you about epilepsy just right off the bat, tell you about it. Tell you more than doctors can tell you. Although they're pretty well on target. But they just think it's an overflow of electricity. It's not, it's a devil. And he's doing the whole job along your nervous system. And he's a terrible looking creature. You ever see one like I've seen one? Right before you tick the color, you begin to realize, hey, there's something out there. Because I was not fixing my mind. I couldn't figure what was going on. When that thing appeared before me, like I'm looking at you, it was a little different story. A much different story. Now he said, if I have the gift of prophecy, I can know all mysteries, understand them, have all knowledge, have all faith, that I could even move mountains. Now these men here, absolutely without the Holy Ghost, can positively do this. But the church says, oh, no, no, that's not the Holy Ghost. No, 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 no. That's the way people act. You see what it is. When people get gifts from God, they get puffed up. Like that's what happened to William Branham. Old little Kentucky hillbilly that had only gone through the seventh grade and couldn't say, amen. Like they could say, amen. And the ostracized, he got too big for his britches. And so he claimed himself to be a prophet. And he ran afoul. And he condemned us. Shame on him condemning us. Oh yeah, that's a duplicity, he said. That man who judged and condemned, now he himself is judged. Smeared across the road, as one fellow said. Oh yeah, he just got too big. Pride entered in like Satan. Oh, Satan was a great man. He led in the worship, and he had great gifts, but he got puffed up. And that's what William Branham got. Hogwash. That's not talking about that love. I'm going to prove it to you. I did it last night. We go to Second Timothy. Here's what Timothy says. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear. No, but what? Power, dunamis. That's omnipotence. And a sound mind, that's omniscience. Right? And love, that's God. So if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're not going to abuse gifts. Because he's telling you, what is, I just read it to you. The gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. There's a gift of God in you. And those gifts are called energies or energies. This boy is full of the Holy Ghost. He's got the Spirit that is omniscient, omnipotent, and love. That's a part of God. What more do you want? Now, if you're trained wrong, and Brother Branham talked about the preacher training the people wrong, like the woman kept talking in tongues and jumping up and down. And every time Brother Branham got to preaching, she had a little prophecy. She'd jump up and start to prophesy. And one night, she told Billy Paul, I got another prophecy for your daddy. And he told daddy. And so daddy just watched him. She began fingering her skirt and twitching around. And she jumped. She said, woman, shut up and sit down. Oh, hey, you mustn't tell him to sit down. You must let her destroy the prophetic message. You must just let her destroy. She wasn't trained. We were in New York, my wife and I. And my wife was in the back, sitting there in the meeting. And this little girl was hopping up and down and making all kinds of noise. And she actually, by a spirit, lifted her sort of and hurled herself over people and fell in the alley. And here she's going on. So I went over to her and said, listen, dear, there's a great man of God up there preaching. You're disturbing people. Don't you want people to get help and get healed? And she got her crying down. And the Pentecost was almost, would have taken my wife and ripped her limb from limb. The same would happen when the woman spoke in tongues and the Pentecost said, oh, she had fresh manna. What do you call manna? I could say something right now because I'm a very rough person, but I'm not going to. I'd only have to strike it out later on anyway. So what is my understanding concerning gifts? I told you. Why, as Brother Branham said, would you want that which is false when the heavens are full of the real? I want to ask you one question. What are the heavens full of? Gifts? Forget it. Word. Word, because he is the Word. Don't you know man is his Word and God is his Word? Every time Brother Branham said Christ is the Word, you cannot see Christ. Look, that light there caught by the camera is not God. It's known as the Shekinah glory, which is the light attendant upon the personal presence of God, but the light is not God. The light veils him. You may say God, the Bible said God is light. Oh, he's also a lamp. He's many things. He's the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the altogether lovely. God is God, and it's right here. Omniscience, omnipotent love. The essentiality of his being, producing these two tremendous things, makes him God. And you and I have a part of him at birth, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost sealing in makes a complete unit. The return, the sealing in, vessels consecrated to God, body, temple of the Holy Ghost, but their people are trained wrong. And when you're trained wrong, you haven't got a hope, as I've said time after time. If you've been trained all your life from a little child that animal out there with horns and udders with four tits on it usually is called a horse, and you've been trained it as a horse, every time you see a cow, that's a horse. Right? Come on. Smarten up. I was taught in school, when the dipping needle went this way, the current was flowing that way. We found out later on, hogwash, the current was going the other way. But it was so inconsequential to me, and I only got it taught to me in the 10th grade, I didn't have any trouble realizing it. Forget science. Who cares which way the current flows, as long as it flows? Science, so-called, is a misnomer. The Bible says science, so-called. There's no such thing as science, per se, unless it comes from God. And whatever you learn in science and nature, you can trace right back to God, and you can see the continuity thereof. All right, the door shut, and the sermon souls are in prison. Brother Branham speaks of preaching to the totally lost. What are your thoughts on this and how close do you think we are? Brother Branham also spoke in the souls that are now in prison. And to me, that was perfectly a vision of the hour in which he was living. And at that particular time when he mentioned those women appearing with cat's eyes, shortly after Brother Branham had preached that sermon, I still had a television set that worked. And I turned it on, and I loved to watch Danny Kaye until I found that Danny Kaye was using actresses like, what's her name? Anyway, it doesn't matter. And I thought that she was kind of an epitomization of purity and kindness and love, Mary Tyler Moore. You know, she played Dick Van's wife. And I thought, now that's good, because everything was kind of like, you know, Fibber McGee and Molly, you know, and stuff like that, clean and nice, and I used to really enjoy her. But he had her on his program, and she was dancing around with Tyson. I said, oh, God, she turned nothing but a, you know, I didn't know that she was that type of person. She just exposed herself, and that's great. Sixth date, man trap. And I see this half-hour show, and he's got these women. They look just like cats. They are dressed like cats. They're almost entirely naked except for a little tight suit on, and they got their ears up, and they come toward the camera till you see nothing but those cat's eyes, the very thing that Brother Branham saw in his vision. Souls that are now in prison. In other words, the days in which the ark was being built, 120 years. The door was as good as closed. Although it wasn't, the gospel was still going out. That was the long suffering of God at that time. Brother Branham said this message could last 100 years, 50, 25, maybe tomorrow. It's lasted almost 33 years to this point after his death, and the message has really started in 1958 when he preached serpent seed in September. So 1958, we had 40 solid years this September. Is it over this year? I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. What's going to happen? I don't have a clue. Is the door shut? Absolutely could be. Could be a lot of people said, no, I really believe you. Then after a while, what happened? Well, let's go over here. I'm not very good at finding scripture if I haven't got it written down. I'm pretty poor at it. But I wonder here. All right, he says in the end times, 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, knowing this first. Now, here's the big thing you got to learn. That their scoffers always came after the prophets. And they walked in their own lusts. And they say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things can is worth beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. In other words, they know this, but they bypass it. They are willingly ignorant. They deliberately turn their backs on the word of God, of which word they knew, though by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, like in a storehouse, preserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition, of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. This is the hour that Brother Branham said was the most perilous because of these false prophets and false teaching. And now there's a peril here to the people who say they believe because, oh, there's nothing going on. So now we're going to make something work, or do this, or do that, or the other thing. Oh, maybe it wasn't right after all. And they look for some little excuse to walk off. Like Brother Brand said, there's three kind of believers. The unbeliever says, you bunch of hogwash, he walks off. The make believer sits around and sticks around till he can find fault with somebody and something he really caused a stink with. And he says, I knew there's nothing to it, and walk off. And the bride sits there and says, well, she said, I know God. She's a believer. She said, I got no problem. Why? Because of nothing to do with her. It has everything to do with God. My children, are you hungry? I've prepared a table in the wilderness. Do you want to come and dine? Oh, I don't like that manna. Oh, that tastes like coriander seeds. And coriander seeds, that's East Indian stuff. I don't think I like that. Maybe a little parsley, but... Oh, no, I like leeks and onions. Because I'm from Egypt. Is that what we're doing? Yeah, all right. Could you also go over what God was doing in Genesis chapter 1:27, the terms of creation and man, and secondary creation of male and female, for the purpose of procreation? Well, I gave you that last night, and the fact of the matter is, that's what it's all about. God wanted children. And as Brother Branham said, Adam and Eve would have come to sex eventually. but that she should have borne Christ. And I've showed you scripture after scripture after scripture to show you in Timothy, the same thing. A woman does not get pregnant eating apples. She can eat everything in this world and still not get pregnant. And the fact is, although pregnancy may come from good, healthy diet, you still got to have the male fertilize the seed. And so it says in there that Eve was absolutely fooled, but should be saved in childbirth. I ask one question. What has childbirth got to do with eating apples? Nothing. She had sex with the serpent. An upright creature that could talk and reason. And the Bible said that Satan was in Eden. And he appeared as a high priest with his own religion. He had the ephod on. Now you know he had the serpent. Doesn't God have prophets? What did God use? He used man for a prophet. What does Satan use? He used that very intelligent creature. And they could breed and mix that they did. See? And so, they would have come to sex eventually, but she should have borne Christ. And you can tell that by the very fact that when the Holy Ghost came to Mary and said, "Blessed art thou amongst women. God's chosen you to be the virgin mother of the Lord Jesus Christ." She said, how in the world is this going to be? I don't know a man. He said, "There's no problem. The Holy Ghost will come upon you." That's why he didn't have two fathers. So he said, the angel said, "The Holy Ghost will come." And Jesus said, "God is my father." He didn't have two fathers. The Holy Ghost is God. Like I showed you up there, that's what he is. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's merely God manifesting. What he wants to manifest. And they become titles. Father is a title. Son is a title. Holy Ghost is a title. What it is. So anyway, Mary said, "Let it be unto me according to thy word." And what happened? She had Jesus Christ by virgin birth. And you study history. Every one of Mary and Joseph's children, as far as we know, and I would stake everything on this. Just like the brothers of Jesus became disciples and followed him. Everyone was a true seed of God. And that's what would have happened. Because the word of Genesis was only fulfilled in Jesus. He alone and because of him. And we inheriting with him by his divine grace, meeting it out to us, proportioning to us, we also rule and reign with him. And he said, "You will reign and we with me and sit in my throne as I have sat down in my Father's throne." And the scripture in Hebrews 12 tells you exactly why he did it. Being a son, he learned obedience through suffering. Jesus himself gained a character as a human being. And the character went from the negative to the positive. And he grew in stature and favor with God and man. And they said, "No man spake like this man. No man could do what this man did." Oh, listen, Jesus was no party pooper, I can tell you that. If he'd have wanted to gone into politics, he'd have taken the world over hand and fist. Talk about listen, just go look back. Don't think of him as just a little fellow born in Bethlehem. Some little fellow that was there and had to go down to Egypt to have his life saved. Some little boy that his daddy so-called was a carpenter and he just fiddled around and was just some little thing. Oh, don't you believe that for one minute. He was head and shoulders above anything the world ever saw. Even though he didn't look beautiful, even though he looked old for his age, and there was no beauty. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I have seen performers, and they were not beautiful. The minute that man was stepped on the platform, you were taken, whether you want to be taken or not. They had charisma, a compulsion about them that you could not help but feel, and you were taken in. Don't tell me that Jesus was not that dynamic creature underneath, because he was the Son of God. And he alone fulfilled the scripture. So therefore, that prophecy was a prophecy concerning him. And when Eve missed the trick, he said, "It'll come down the road." And that seed did come down the road. But the human race, every single one of us, born into sin, come into this world speaking lies, formed in sin, shaped in iniquity. Terrible condition for the sons of obedience, the sons of God to come to. But now, with the baptism with the Holy Ghost, they have the indomitable force, that spirit of love, omniscience, omnipotence, under the guidance of God himself, every gift and every member can rise to a stature that we could not believe possible except we gave ourselves over to it. And I read that over here in Ephesians. Ephesians. Here we are in just a second. I get it for you. And Paul says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And that's true. It's a faith proposition. If God's going to dwell and work, it's got to be that way. And you've got to say the same thing that he said, because we're like confessors. He says, if you hold fast your confidence to the end, the same thing that Jesus says, that you being rooted and grounded in love, that's your Holy Ghost, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length and breadth and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundant. Now that's when you're filled with him, that stature. Above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. No, the power that he exercises, that God himself exercising his own power within us. And Brother Branham was the perfect example. He said, yes, I could do it, but God hasn't told me to. You want people to do things for you? Oh, we all do. But except eating our meals and taking pride and showing off and being head honcho and a few things that involve pleasures. Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, hey, that's a pretty big list right there. Why don't we let God take it all over? Then you will find that you never knew the extent to which God would move in you to his glory. And at the resurrection, you just might have a glory akin to one of the greatest stars. Almost look like a comet flashing around. Maybe almost some people akin to the moon. Of course, the moon is the bride. She reflects the light of God. But you can carry that right to the place of the resurrection, because the Bible said there's one glory of the sun, one of the moon, and one of the stars, and one of this and that. Just like there's a glory of flesh. Start with little amoeba down here, work up, because you come to man. There's a gradation. And so whatever place God placed you in, you could shine as brilliant as the Apostle Paul in your position as he shines in his. And I could shine in mine. It says right here, if you allow God to exercise what lies within you, the Holy Ghost. Now, how will he operate? He'll operate by the Word, because he is the Word. He gives the Word, confirms the Word, fulfills the Word, right? That's positively the truth. Everything by the Word, everything maintained by the Word. So if the Holy Ghost is here, he's going to operate according to the Word. Now, if people give themselves over to the Word, what will happen? Things that you... Hey, right now we look at history. But what went on in this church? What went on in this age? What went on over here? Oh, something's happening here. Now they got the Pentecostal in Canada, and the guy that leads it, to my knowledge, was caught in adultery a long time ago, but he's got a laughing gimmick. So everybody has holy laughter, and they laugh, and they laugh, and they laugh. Hey, we used to do that. We called it holy laughter. It's great fun. That's great fun. Oh, you feel so relaxed. You go home that night, you're so happy, you lie in bed, you praise the Lord, and you sleep the sleep of the righteous. Then you turn around and deny the fulfilled ministry of God and the prophet. Oh, come on. Holy laughter. I'm laughing now, but please, it's not holy laughter. It's just, I just get tickled. See, I've been all through this stuff. Maybe did you have any of these great experiences, holy laughing and all? Maybe you weren't in that gang. No? Well, you missed it, kid. You may be older than me, but you missed a lot of things. But I'll say this. It hasn't hurt you. It hasn't hurt you to miss it. You're no better for it. The only reason I'm happy that I went through, to be honest with you, because I can tell people, look, I've been there, done that. Look, I prophesied, I've told you, and God is my witness. This Bible opened before me. It's come right to pass. Come around. I can take her to witness to tell you the same thing. Vision never failed. The vision didn't fail. The dreams that didn't fail. God speaking in my heart like in a still small voice. Just lay it right down. Come right to pass. I yielded myself to God He was good. By His grace, He allowed me to do the things I had no business doing. There's something like you're in the body here, and you can drink coffee if you want. If you're smart, you won't. You can smoke a cigarette. You shouldn't, but if you want to, you can. You can do just about anything. But remember this, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but will not be brought under the power of any. And the word lawful doesn't mean legal. Lawful means this is it. Right, Russell? Law means the law. But let's go a little further. There is no power that's not a God. Let's go further still. All things are pure to the pure in heart. Now we're getting back. How are you going to get there? By the word of God, the Holy Spirit, in here, with this word, guiding our lives all day long. And don't get carried away with the sweet little old ladies who hear voices. And they follow the voice, and something really nice happens. See, she's become a role model outside the Bible. She could have been false anointed. The false anointed usually are very, very sweet. See, because they got a false love. Yeah, you wanna watch that. Okay, we're talking about the creation. Oh yeah, we got away. How come we got away from that? Okay. Genesis 1:27, in terms of creation, man and secondary creation into male and female for the purpose of procreation. Okay. To begin with, man was strictly spirit. He is no different in my books from the animals, where God said, let the earth bring forth the beasts after their kind. Now, come on. I got a bunch of dirt here. There's no way that even God could say, let that dirt bring forth animals, because dirt doesn't bring forth animals. Dirt is a substance which is nutritious. To bring forth what those animals need, and those animals are only defined by the materiality or the substance that they show to the world. The cat is not the dog, the pig is not the horse is not the giraffe, and the giraffe is not the zebra, and the zebra is not the baboon, the baboon is not the chimpanzee, and the champion is not the orangutan, and the orangutan is not the gorilla, and so on. And the housefly is not the bee, and the bee is not the spider, and the spider is not the crawfish, and the crawfish is not the scorpion, and the catfish is not the whale. So these beasts all have substance that come from the earth, and the earth maintains them, their bodies. So when God said, let the earth bring forth the beast, that's simple in my understanding, very, very simple. It's just like the resurrection going to take place. God simply forms a substance by creation that spirit needs. You got a spirit of dog, maybe you got 100 varieties. You got 100 varieties of cats, you got 30, 40 varieties of cows, you got 50 varieties of horses, and you got 1,000 varieties of bees, and 10,000 varieties of ants, and 6 trillion varieties of microbes, or whatever. So you let the earth bring forth. So therefore, the earth simply clothes them, and then they get their sustenance from there. Now, what I'm looking at and trying to show you is God's areas of evolution. As Brother Branham said, higher orders. So when God created man, in the image of God created he him like a lesser God, the negative part, that God would work on and bless and bring him to full fruition, he became the ground of God. That man would become the ground of God. But first of all, he created the male and female. And Brother Branham categorically said, and we know it is true, that is for the purpose of procreation. Now, there was no man to till the ground. No man. So God now forms the man. And he forms him out of the earth. And the blood plasma is there, the heart is there, the liver, the kidneys, every single thing is there. Every organ, and you can tell from male and female today that it was an admixture. Because females have to have various hormones. They have to have testosterone. Although the male has the abundance because it's for procreation. And the male also, the male has that abundance. The female has other types of estrogen and things. The male also has some, but he doesn't have that particular amount. The male also has breasts, but they're not for feeding babies. The male has genitals, the female has genitals, and they are for various purposes. You can understand what I'm saying. So therefore, they were in one lump, in one body. And so now God separates. Now, is he going to make a man that doesn't have nipples or a chest up here? No, male and female are essentially the same. But what? It's a purpose of procreation. And the woman is a sanctified vessel unto the honor and glory of childbearing. And that's what sex is all about in the original. But without sexual desire and drive, there certainly wouldn't be any children. I've explained that before. Who in the world would want to get involved? I mean, these are processes of nature. And so the male and female, as Brother Branham said, were essentially for reproduction. And the spirit in there was female to fit a female body, and the male spirit was in there to fit a male body. And Brother Branham thoroughly described it, and you, everybody here knows about physiology and biology. We don't even go into it. You know that actually the fight today in government over homosexuals marrying and rearing children is over the grounds, what is marriage? What constitutes family? Now, we'll have to take this question a little more later. We're going to do it. Will you just be so nice as to turn with me to the book of Romans again, so I can show you again where America is. Now remember, Paul preached the gospel, and he said, this is the power of God unto salvation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is what everything is about. This is the everything about what everything is about. You follow me? Because I've chosen my words carefully. Now he said, for the wrath of God is verse 18. Verse chapter 1, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold back the truth in unrighteousness. It tells you now, what is God against? People who knew wouldn't tell it as it is. They had the truth, they made it a lie. They had righteousness, they made it unrighteousness. Because that which be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. There is nobody that doesn't really realize there has to be something behind nature. It's too explicit in design and perpetuation. So even the stupid idiots that call themselves scientists and teachers, the evolutionists who try to tell us we have no foot to stand on, have finally acceded to let the schools begin to teach. Ah, yes, there is a design. You know, I guess people accuse me of being hard and being hateful. But this tears me to pieces. If I want to come out swinging every single time is to the place where if God doesn't do it, I'm about to do it. To call it a quits. Like if the people don't elect the Pope for America, I'm going to write them nasty letters and demand it. Because there's got to be a Pope come out of America. Chapter 13 tells you, as far as I can see, it's the Antichrist. We built the image to him. We're 13 everything. Where Brother Branham said 13 stars, 13 stripes, 13 colonies. Actually, there's about 13 13s in America. Not just three. I'll get them for you one day. I'll copy them down. I've got them at home. I meant to bring them, but you know the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Paved with good intentions. I threw another brick in it. I meant to do it and didn't do it. All right. Are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. And the eternal power is put in there on the very principle of the fact that you cannot get species changed. You can get a bit of mutation. And anything can mutate. But you can't get a change of species. You realize that the purple dogs that didn't have any hair in the Inca kingdom were replicated here a few years ago? They bred dogs that are purple that have no hair. What happens when they just let them breed? They're like Darwin's pigeons that go back to slate color. Just go back to dog with hair. Turn. No changing. Because that when they knew God, see, they glorified him not as God. How do you not glorify God as God if you know him? You turn from what he told you about himself. Then you hold what you want and make a lie out of it. But they became vain in their reasonings, and they weren't thankful either for it. Are we really thankful that Brother Branham came on the scene and God vindicated himself to the prophet and him to us so we have our vindicated word? Oh man, am I thankful. I don't know what I'd be doing without it today. You know, I would be out in the world drinking and robbing banks and doing whatever I could with that, whatever strength I had left. I'd be as dirty a dog as I could because I couldn't understand the false anointed. Here the people living in sin, whoremongers, getting up in the pulpit here, diseases cast off, the devils cast out, the blind healed, everything else, and I'm trying to serve God as a lowly servant of God, and I pray and the heavens are dark and nothing happens. Man, I told my wife, I said, honey, look, I'm going to dye your head black, I'm going to get a Cadillac or a Rolls Royce and go up there and cut up the rug and watch me then be a big shot for God. You say, Lee, can you? Yeah, I could and I did. You people are nice, but you know, you wouldn't confess your sins like me. See, it's going to be shoved in the housetop. I've got you beat all hollow. When the great white throne comes, I've told everything. To the sources that needed telling. I think I've told about every single thing. I've come back and corrected everything I ever told you wrong. Okay. It says right here, professing themselves to be sophists, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorporeal God to an image made to corrupt man and so on right on down. In the verse 24, wherefore, because of this, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, homosexuality. America has gone through this process right now. That's why we got homosexuals. And the church is, oh, God loves them. They can't help it. Their parents could. If the genetic is to the third and the fourth generation. Brother Branham took that phrase to the third or fourth generation, which is true. Let's say I go out and commit adultery. I get syphilis. My son has syphilis. His son has syphilis. Fourth generation idiots. They can't copulate. It's gone. Homosexuals. The fourth generation of rottenness. They can't copulate either. Oh, they said, you odd sex, you heterosexuals, we're going to use you as breeding stock to get our sexual fun. You know they said that? Come on, you read the papers? My God, anybody read the papers with me and understand a few things? How many people knew that? You didn't know it, you know it now. Third and fourth generation. You've come to the place where you almost can thank God that President Clinton can drop his shorts to entice a woman. I don't mean that as a laugh. I've said to young, men, you think your son, 13, 14 years old, got a girly magazine, you better thank God. Shows he ain't a homosexual. And I'm not saying he should have a girly magazine. I'm just saying, look, there's a bright side to that kid. He ain't a homosexual. You say, Lee Bale, I believe that you're overdoing it. Brother Branham said before he died, California is going 33% per year homosexual. Read your Bibles, brother, sister, and smarten up. If this is a lie, I don't want anything to do with it. Because, hey, I can get my own lies in a hurry without God telling lies. Yeah, really. I got enough lies of my own. I can make up some honeys. I don't need God to tell me a lie. You see it right today in America. The heterosexuals, by the way, are going bisexual. Look at the Pentecostal like Swagger. Change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator is blessed forever. In religion, what has man created? Organization. Right? Worship right now? Right now? I remember little brother Callahan, Andy, one day talked to his daddy, a Pentecostal fellow that he likes to run up and down the aisles and speak in tongues and have a great time, which is fine. I got no problem. That's their problem, not mine. So Andy talks about Brother Branham. The old man gets very angry. But he said, Father, listen to me. It's what the Bible says. I don't care what the Bible says. I got me a little black book. They've created their own God. Catholics, you got to be a Catholic, you know. Worship the Virgin Mary to get in, hallelujah, or Peter will kick you out. And Protestants, shake my hand, hallelujah, now you got it. Got what? Bunch of germs? Touch your mouth, now you got a cold. That's a great way to come to God. Give you a cold. I'm doing this on purpose, being silly, ridiculous, to let you understand exactly what is going on. So that you'll never, ever, ever turn away from the Word of God. But you believe it because it's said here. And one day God will enlighten you and give you a deep understanding of it. For this cause, God gave them to vile affections. I'll go back to prison. What did he want? And even women did change their natural use of that which is against nature. Yeah. Here's these women like Rosie O'Donnell. Though she's not the culprit. There's the other one. Oh, it's Jodie Foster. She has been inseminated, but not by a man. Or she ain't talking. What about her natural use? Huh? Well, artificial insemination? Forget it. You haven't got children? Adopt. Or just thank God you're where you are. If you'd have wanted you different, you'd have done it different. Maybe you got to wait like a friend of mine's son had to wait 9 years. Now they got their first baby. They didn't think they ever had one, but they waited. And some people shouldn't even have babies. They got them. Brother Brand says you take them as God gives them. They change their use against nature. Likewise also the men. Leaving the natural use of women. This is sexual intercourse, procreation we're talking about, so let's get with it. Let's admit that's what it is. Turned in their lusts one toward another because burning. You know, the Bible speaks of the fellow that was burning. Paul said if it's better to marry than to burn. What does burning actually mean there? I used to think it just meant the guy was very avid concerning his desires. Not he's fooling around, messing around. So these men are messing with men. Tells you right here. None of these will go to heaven, my brother, my sister, but they can be saved and delivered. According to the Apostle Paul, he says, such for some of you. Right? That's the Bible. Come on, we know the Bible. Men working with men, that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves a recompense of their error. They get paid off. AIDS. The question was asked in Vancouver to Dr. Merkel, one of the most brilliant scientists ever lived or is living. Said, can you cure AIDS? He said, sure, but why bother? They'll be right back because of their lifestyle. Dr. Mayer in Florida can cure AIDS. 550 cc of blood he takes out, oxygenates it with pure ozone, drifts it back in your body several times over. Oxygen will burn wire. It'll burn every disease under high heaven. Nothing can live in it. Start breathing pure oxygen, you damn it. You're gone. Too much ozone, you're gone too. Put it back in your body. Except if the lymph glands aren't cleared. you could cure AIDS. But I'm not so sure about those lymph glands, because that's where the AIDS go and hibernate. But Dr. Merkel said, why bother? They won't change their lifestyle. Notice, filled with all unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is attempting to worship and serve God outside the legitimate revealed word. They're religious. Hey, we go to church. I can be ordained. I may be a gay. As Spong the Wrong said, I thank God for my gift of homosexuality. I'm a better preacher for it. Now, just a minute. I don't think I see that here. That man saying, now that I'm a homosexual, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Doesn't say that. It says unrighteousness. That man will meet what he's doing in public, leading people in worship. Spong the Wrong. He's an Anglican. What is he, a bishop or archbishop or canon? I've seen his picture and read all about him. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. Well, how about Versace? Wasn't he cut down by Cunanan? Another homosexual? Murder. There'll be more of it. And you infect a person with that disease, you're a murderer. What about the dentist that infected that poor Catholic girl down there in Florida? Was it Fort Lauderdale? That dentist, you know? He said, I got it, I'm going to make people pay. So he deliberately injected her, and four more women, I think, four at least. And the girl died very bitter. Many times I felt like phoning her, or her dad, and suggesting Dr. Mayer. At least she could live. But I thought, well, it's too much publicity. Yeah, I don't think they'd do it. When you get too much money, too much publicity, you can't help yourself, because you got to stand before the crowd. You're being viewed. That's why I believe that old Sam Walton had to die of prostate cancer. He had 20 billions of dollars. He couldn't go to someplace in Mexico and get treatment. Or go to Germany. We could have gotten the best doctor in the world, Dr. Vega. He's actually so brilliant, I don't know anybody can touch him. Cured a friend of mine of breast cancer. Doctor cut her up, couldn't do a thing. She phoned me. I said, sister, I'll tell you what. God works in through doctors, and God works through prayer. It looks like you're going to have to find somebody else. I said, don't you know a real good homeopathic doctor? And she suddenly remembered that the man that she knew that was the best had died, but just a minute, maybe his wife is living. His wife was living. And she phoned. Oh, she said, certainly, my dear. Dr. Vega studied with my husband. You must go to him. In 6 weeks, the cancer's gone. The woman's feeling great. But see, she didn't have any money. She wasn't in the public eye. See, you can't lower your stature. You're too proud to go the little simple way. How many people die under the doctor's knife or have more pain after the operation, the bypass, when chelation could have done it for $3,000? They had to take $65,000 and still died. Oh, they say chelation won't take out plaque. Like fun, it won't take out plaque. It does take out plaque. You can even ingest it. It'll take out plaque. Hey, look, I'm not 83 years for nothing. I'm the privateer down in Mexico. I've been in Europe. I've been in Canada. I've been all around. I know these people. I know them privately. I told you, I know Dr. Kuno, who stood next to Dr. Nians, understands therapy is no living man. And you hear him lecture, just the heavens open with knowledge. He's about 90-some years old now. Oh, too much pride. And these people of religion are so proud, they couldn't be wrong. There's no way they could be wrong. So now they got all the... They've deposed God, and their creation of organization has taken over. And now the organization... Oh, come on in, you're all children of God. We're all children of God. We're all children of God. Poor little sheep gone astray. Don't you ever believe that. Don't you ever believe that. And if you're seed, I'm going to tell you one thing. You will receive the Holy Ghost, because it's impossible not to. Rather, providing you're that seed of election, you cannot be fooled. Now it says backbiters, haters of God. Say, I don't hate God, I love God. Jesus said, if I had not done the works the other man did, they had not sinned, but now they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Oh, I saw the works of God. I don't hate him, I love him. Just the minute Jesus said that you could. Why did they hate him? Because he said contrary to what they said. Oh, brother, sister. Without natural, you know, it says covenant breakers. Covenant breakers. That's marriage going down the drain. Pacts that people made down the drain. Men in high positions selling out our country as spies. Without natural affection. I wouldn't consider sex to be a natural affection in this regard. I would consider this to be more of the milk of human kindness, the compassion within your soul. Your conscience being brought into play. It isn't there. Implacable. Unmerciful. But the bride is showing mercy with cheerfulness. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they that commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Now it says, now the point is this. How could they know that's the judgment of God? Well, they do know because it's in the Bible, but then they take another verse to override it. Or they say, God is love. He loves everybody. We're all children of God. And though this is true in an extreme case, I want you to know it's not our case. This is not talking about us because we love the Lord. We may be homosexuals. We maybe have unnatural affection, but we do have affection. We do have a drive. Don't you sell us short. We are fine. And let's face it, we are God's children, and this is genetic. Go back to mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, great-great. They won't do it. They got an excuse. Okay, my question, which I went into a diverse area here, I don't mind having done it because I go back to your question again, because this is all relevant here about male and female. The point is that the seed of God have both a soul and oh, I want to get that part. Could you go over Genesis 1 where the term of creation, secondary creation in the male and the female for the purpose of procreation. And that's actually, the question is answered. That's what it's all about. And I showed you where people attempt to use the act, which is the definite act of procreation, to use it as license because of the thrill that is engendered in the particular act and the drive that is in humankind the same as it is in animals. And when you watch animals, you can understand the sex drive. And the sex drive in human beings is absolutely no different except for one thing. We are intelligent creatures who can sublimate those feelings and those desires and channel them in the right channels and use them in that channels even correctly where the Bible tells the men to love their wives as Christ loved the church and also to respect her as not just a weaker vessel, but also as a vessel that is chosen by God in that particular position of childbearing where the woman should not be worn out by bearing children. And of course you've got a principle in there which is a natural principle of birth control, a 5 to 10 day period, which should be roughly even out, I suppose, at least a 7 day period where the male does not come to the female if they do not want children. He simply guards himself. But if you begin to understand natural birth or pregnancy in 9 months, or certainly a male should not touch the female or 7.5 to 9 months, at least 6 to 8 weeks in there, and then that many days afterward, again, you've got almost as many days of abstinence in there that you'd have by natural birth control. So the actual thing is the male required by God to use his gifts properly? Absolutely. Is the woman? Absolutely. You're vessels under honor. You're stewards in that position. And nobody can come before God and say, Lord, I want to tell you something. You knew I was going to be this kind of guy. You'll end up like the guy in Germany who is in adultery all the time. And he's questioned by a friend of mine over there. Not a friend, but a man who writes letters. Said, why do you do it? Well, he said, God knows I was highly sexually provides these women. Wonderful. Listen, this is in the churches, and this is also in people who claim they believe this message. I read this chapter to you. Are you going to disagree with me? I'd like to hear your sermon on it. Or sit with me after church, come and have dinner, and sit beside me and say, Brother Vail, I don't agree. And you show me where I'm wrong, and I'll take you right to the president and right on down. I say with Mr. Goldwater, the truth is this. If you begin talking to Congress, you hit our representatives and our senators, and you begin giving them a test of virtue, shut down the government. There'll be two people there, if that many. And even those two won't do you any good, because Brother Branagh said truthfully, no politician can make a correct decision. And you listen today what's going on in government, which I will listen to. And I got different magazines that I read. But I want to tell you, I find that an ordinary man off the street could go in and do a better job than those politically entrenched people who want nothing but glory and money. And the money doesn't mean anything because they already got it to run for office or get it. It's the glory. And what are they doing now? What the IRS has done is so horrible. And they still say, it's going to be a long time before there be changes. In other words, we're not going to do a thing. And the money that's coming in wrong from China, and the Chinese have bought a big complex out there in the West Coast that gives them their spies and everything else to America. And who gave it to them? The president gave it. China interfering with our politics? Oh, it's okay, because you see, it takes a lot of money. And then him get up and tell us to murder little children. It's murder. It's murder. Abortion is murder. I don't care if you do it or I do it, it's murder. We've lied, we've cheated, we've stated. There are people that have abortions. It's murder. It's sin. Put it right down. No. Government's not going to do it. The government's going to lead you to hell. You know why? The government interfered with the church. Said, you can't pray in the school. You can't do this. You can't do that. All right. Knowing the seed of God have both a soul and insight. So no, this question is misunderstood. The question that what came up, Brother Branham and all theologians, everybody agrees animals do not have souls. That's a positive statement by Brother Branham. He even said at one time the white man coming to America did not believe the Indian had a soul till the Indian wept. He got a soul. Right today there are people in America who say, I believe this message, claim the black man doesn't have a soul. They're liars. Everybody's got a soul. Amen. But Brother Brant, what I found by looking into Scripture, you can find words that actually mean different things according to context, which would be fine if you could figure it out. But as I went to my Hebrews Englishman Concordance, where they give you the root word of every single word used in the Bible, the King James Version, I traced it down and I found where the Scripture does say in the Old Testament that the beast does have a soul. One case. Does that change the picture? No. But it could. It only took one sin, one word off, the picture got changed. But what did Brother Branham say that made the whole picture came out true? He said, inner soul. And what I term by inner soul is a true soul. It means the inner of the inner, which part came from God, is that soul which is from God. Now remember this, flat. Life is life. Whether that life bears a soul or not is something I don't know in the sense of animal or ants or anything else. But life continues. And all I know is that the life that was in Eve combined, and that life came from Adam, which came from God, combined with the life of the serpent and brought forth one who did not have the same soul, if indeed he did have a soul, and he must have had a soul of some description, perverted of some kind. Could have been animal, that outer, not an inner, I don't know. I'm just saying to me, Brother Branham cleared up everything in the Bible when he said inner. And there's one thing that Cain did not have, that inner soul. And I use the term inner soul to differentiate that I don't care what anybody tells me. I have the definition from a servant of God vindicated. I have an inner soul. You have an inner soul, which means something of the inside came from God. And he speaks of the inside, and the door within a door. And you could go into that yourself. I haven't done it, but it just comes to my mind. And that's what I'm looking at. It's not as though there's two souls, an outer soul, an inner soul, whatever. It's just that we have something from God which is our soul. That's why Brother Branham said you'll come to a time in your life when you find you always were saved. See? You were lost out there. You heard the eagle scream and you came back to God. He positioned you. Filled you with the Holy Ghost, guarantee you a part in the first resurrection and immortality and a place around the throne. The others are guaranteed resurrection, a body suitable, perhaps like ours, I don't know, and they'll be in the outer realms, bringing their glory into the city. And the city, there is no need of light, because the glory of the Lamb is there giving light. And all the, see, once you begin to see the genealogy from God on down, there's no big problems with what we need to go into, what we need to find out. So, all right, we've covered about everything that we want to cover here. And we'll see what happens in the future, because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. But if we're here, we intend to partake of that future, which is get together to have fellowship. And look into some of the questions that have arisen because of the teaching, or some questions which have not been answered according to your satisfaction. So, all right, after a little service out here, it's time to go. I know an hour and a half is up for sure. We have dinner together. Let's rise and be dismayed. Now, our Heavenly Father, we leave at this time, perhaps our separate ways, perhaps to gather in the fellowship hall and have a little lunch together, which is certainly fine. You provided it for us, and we are very grateful, even as many people do say grace around the table and thank you for the provision. We are now thanking you also that we have the ability to know we're going out there to partake one to another, which is by your grace and your fine provision of grace. But Lord, we thank you above all for spiritual food. It may have it been such food, O God, even to the place where it has become a sword, not just food, but a sword, the word of the living God, cutting away the carnal and the fleshly so that the spiritual may come forth. Because, Lord, we know that man has a spiritual appetite, but what is that appetite for? The real word of the hour, the food in due season, or the carnal vomit, as it were, stressed in the scripture that the tables are full of. Lord, we do not want any admixture of any description. We don't want something that man has hashed over. Lord God, we want only what has been brought forth in this hour, which we believe to be vindication. And we do thank you, because according to your own word, it is a vindicated message, lining with the Apostle Paul. Unto you be glory, both now and forevermore, and particularly in our lives, may that glory come forth, because we are the obedient children of our Father, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, our brother. In his name we pray, even Jesus' name, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.